Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord God. I just thank you for this meeting. Father, I lift up my heart, Steve's heart, Zaya's heart, and everybody that's listening's heart. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive us our sins and that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, bless my grandchild that's coming, Lord God. He'll be here on or before the 17th, Lord God. We just ask that your anointing and your covering will be over him, young Jeremiah Zaire. And we ask that in the name of Jesus that you will bless him and keep him. Lord God, as we give him back to you, we will immediately dedicate him back to you. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Father, I ask that as I decrease, that you would increase in me, Lord God. Cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my spirit, Lord God. If there's anything in me that is not like you, remove it, Lord God, that I will be free to flow and teach your word, Lord God. I know there are going to be hindrances from teaching the kingdom. And I ask that in the name of Jesus that you give me the clarity and the wherewithal to speak so that I will be able to totally convey the message that is given me. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you, Lord God. And I thank you for using me. I just thank you for glorifying yourself in a way that I am able to speak what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, help me to pontificate. Amen and amen. As I decrease, increase in me. As I decrease, increase in me. Amen. We are in Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 9. And I'm just going to get into the scripture. I was going to give a little synopsis at the beginning, but I think I'll just get into the scripture. 13:9. Matthew, St. Matthew 13:9. It says, "Who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And I'm going to stop right there. The idea that the scripture says, "Who has an ear to hear, let him hear," lets you know that everybody does not have the ear to hear. What does that mean specifically? What does that mean? There is an ear of understanding. We ask God to open up the eyes of our understanding, the ears of our understanding, simply so that we would hear the message and we would be able to understand the message. Hearing the word of God and not understanding the deep implication of what is spoken is just like going to the store, searching for a certain thing and never finding what you actually need and buying everything else in the store. Just wasting time, wasting money, and never getting what you actually came to the store for. Then you waste so much time, you go home, you bring the stuff to your wife, and she said, "But I sent you to the store for milk." "Oh, I forgot the milk." What a waste of time. Now you got to go back to the store, fight all that traffic, and get the milk. And you go in there, and you forget the milk again, over and over again. It comes to a place where you start to feel like an idiot. Because you're called to do a certain thing, but you don't know what that certain thing is. But unless you get the understanding of what God is saying, then we don't understand. So I want to read to you critical thinking. Critical thinking is the application of logical principles, rigorous standards of evidence, and careful reasoning to the analysis and discussion of claims, beliefs, and issues. Let me say that again. Critical thinking, the application of logical principles, rigorous standards of evidence, and careful reasoning to the analysis and discussion of claims, beliefs, and issues. And so we want to be able to deal with that from this direction. I need everyone to critically think about the Word of God. This is what people don't seem to understand. The Word of God is not something you just read. The Word of God is something you critically think. You must chew on it. You must digest it. You must get an understanding of the direction that is going, and then you must be able to apply it to life. Applicable application to your life is very important. You cannot do that unless you think critically of what's going on. In all thy getting of wisdom, you must get understanding. And so I'm taking this time to share with you these things. So who hath an ear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto him, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So You see a separation here. It is given unto those who are in God to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It is not given unto everybody to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, we're not talking about, it's an automatic thing to sinners, people who don't have God. It's not given unto you to know the kingdom. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about people who are church people, people who have bowed their knee to God, people who say, I love Jesus. It is not given unto them who are without, see, to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It is only to given to them who has the ear to hear. Everybody in the church does not have the ear to hear. Why? Because people come to Christ for different reasons. They come to Christ with different moral aspirations. They come to Christ with different understandings. They don't want Jesus. They've been trained not to want Jesus. Life has taught them not to want Jesus. They want everything else. Some people just want the Holy Ghost. Some people just want God the Father. Some people just want the law of Moses. Some people just want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, want to prophesy. They're in Christ. They have bowed their knee to Christ. They accepted Christ. But they don't want the Christ who has given them the salvation. So therefore, they don't actually get the salvation. They deceive themselves, and they have a facsimile thereof. When you see people reaching towards Christ, then you find them getting the message that they need. And somewhere in John, it says, and I believe it's around John, the sixth chapter, somewhere in the sixth chapter, he says that until I am lifted up, then you will in no wise know that I am him. But when you have lifted me up, lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. So you cannot know him until you have lifted him up. That means Christ has got to be higher than your mama, higher than your daddy, higher than your own life, than your own understanding. Christ has got to be higher than the Holy Spirit. Not coming against the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit only witnesses and talks about the Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It was Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross for you. Salvation, grace, and mercy only came in through the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would you not worship him? God called Jesus Christ our God. So if God the Father has proclaimed about his Son that he is our God, why wouldn't you hail him as God? It's got to come to the place where he becomes more than just the carpenter's son. It's got to come to the place where he becomes more than just what you think you know of him. He is more than man. He is God upon this earth. And people don't see him. When he went to his hometown of Nazareth, he started to minister and he wanted to do great things there. And they started to question, wait a minute, hold up. Who are you spitting such wisdom? We know your mama, Mary. We know your daddy was Joseph. We grew up with you. And that's where he said a prophet cannot do works in his own home. A prophet is not blessed in his own country. Why? He could not do any works there. Why? Because they did not lift him up as God. And so this is very significant. Why? Because Jesus is teaching a certain thing and bringing us to a place where we ought to be studying and working towards a certain goal. And everybody else is teaching everything else. We are not teaching those things. So he says, in 11, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. So, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. See, that's not given to everybody. Everybody can know the salvation of God. Everybody can know the blessings of God. Everybody can know the righteousness of God. Everybody can know his peace. Everybody can know his comfort. Everybody can know all that because he makes that to come upon the just and the unjust. But he does not allow anyone to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He's specifically talking about the kingdom of heaven unless you have an ear to hear. And so it says in 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he that hath have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that which he has. So God is telling, he's telling you directly, to he that has an ear to hear, you will understand what it is to operate in the kingdom, to go in and out and find green pastures. But to you that has salvation, but does not have the ear to hear the kingdom, what you have is going to be taken away. See? And if you read in John 15, he tells you directly, if you bear fruit, how do you bear fruit? You have to be connected to the kingdom. If you're not connected to the kingdom, you may have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you're bearing no fruit. You're going to be cut off by God the Father and withered away as a branch. And men are going to gather you and throw you into fire, and none shall quench them. That's going to be hell's fire. See, he's very specific about this, because if you do not know God is the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom he sent, then you don't know the kingdom. If you're studying and getting caught up into everything else, then you're doing wrong. Nothing is higher than the Christ. There is no name in heaven or earth higher than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And so if you don't exalt him as such, then you will not know who he is. And this is why I have issues with people, especially when they get caught up into the things of the Holy Spirit and don't even know the Christ that sent you the Holy Spirit. How do you get there? See? And so we're going to discuss a few things, because Jesus is going to point them out. He says in 13, therefore I speak unto them in parables. This is why he speaks in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Why? Because in all the wisdom that the kingdom has to present, it is about getting the understanding. Proverbs teaches us, in all that getting, get understanding. It says wisdom is the principal thing. You want to get that wisdom. But in all your getting of wisdom, you need to get understanding. Because understanding gives you the ear to hear. See? People want to get caught up in the religion. Religion does not give you the ear to hear. Religion helps you to worship dead things. See? That's all religion does. It gets you to worship dead things. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. So he's saying, and the prophecy is fulfilled. He it spoke about it in Isaiah way back then. That way back in one of the major prophets spoke about it, letting you know that by hearing, you shall hear and not understand. And by seeing, you shall see and not perceive. See, you would hear it and not get the message. You will see it and not get the sight of it. See, everybody thinks it's just easy for someone to roll into the kingdom of heaven. It is not. Why? Because God is not trying to let man's understanding and man's wisdom come into his heaven. He is not trying to let man's wisdom and man's understanding come into his kingdom. He did that before. He's already done that and put man to the test, and man proved to be not right. Let me give you the profession and the proclaiming of God's word. God's word. From the beginning, God's government was upon the earth. See? And that was God's kingdom. That was during the time of Genesis, when Adam was upon the face of the earth with Eve. They got beguiled. Well, let me say it clearly. The serpent beguiled Eve. And then Eve beguiled her husband. Anyway, the law was given to the husband. And when the man turned it over, he turned over the keys to the kingdom. And then God's government was no longer upon the earth. Then it became whatever the satanic people wanted. See? So in that, God started creating provision. Next, he created the laws of Moses. See? So that men would have an understanding of what sin was. Because before that, there was commandments. See, before the law of Moses, there were commandments. But man didn't follow the commandments. So man didn't have an understanding of what right was wrong. So God gave them the laws of Moses. And then after Moses, the first five books, which is called the Pentateuch, okay? The first five books, after Moses wrote those books, then came in the laws of the prophets, or the speaking of the prophets. So God's word was proclaimed at the beginning. The truth of the kingdom was proclaimed at the beginning. That got shut down when the reign over this earth was handed over to Lucifer through it, the first Adam. So then God started setting provision. Then we had the laws of Moses, and then he brought the prophets. Why did he bring the prophets? Because the people didn't want to serve him. They want to serve another king. So they said, we don't see you. We need a king that we can see. See? And so he brought the kings, the first king being Saul. But God needed prophets to rule over the king so that the kings would get God's word. So then he brought in the time of prophet. From the time of Joshua all the way to the end of Malachi in Old Testament was the reign of the prophets. Before that was the first five books, the law of Moses. See? So ever since the fall, God brought in the law of Moses, and then after that time, he brought in the reign of the prophets from Joshua to Malachi. After that, he brought in the law of repentance through John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So he brought in the time of repentance. And now that Christ is here, our King is here. See? And so now that our King is here, he's bringing back the kingdom and the government of God. He's bringing it back, which was what it was from the beginning. See? If you do not understand that system, then you don't really understand what the scriptures is all talking about. See, but we're going to discover something, because the Bible says that all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speak about the Christ. See, all the scriptures do not speak about the law. They're not pointing towards, all the scriptures point towards the Christ. The law of Moses points towards the Christ. How do I know that? Because even, you know, the big thing now, everybody's talking about the Sabbath. We got to keep the Sabbath and make it holy. Well, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is our Sabbath. The Sabbath is fulfilled in him. And you'll find out about all the laws. The moral law has always been in place. When God was in Genesis and Abel and his brother Cain, and Cain killed Abel, he set the commandment right there. He said, if thou doest well, will not thou have that of the same? If thou doest not well, then sin is crouching at the door. So he brought the commandment right there. That's not a part of the law of Moses, but that moral situation still reigns true to this day. So morally, we are all up under the moral compass of God, period. Until the kingdom come back. But now Jesus is here. There's no need to look outside for the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. So now the kingdom of God is here. But I need to get to the place where I can fulfill this in your hearing. So we're in 14, it says, and in them, in what? In the parables is fulfilled the prophecy. by Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye hear, and shall not understand, and by seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. And in 15 he says, for the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should with their eyes, should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Why is this important? Because God will heal the land of anybody when they step into the kingdom. Because there's no sin in the kingdom. There's no wrong in the kingdom. There's no lame in the kingdom. There's no broken in the kingdom. There's no halt in the kingdom. So when you step even on this earth into kingdom principle, he starts to heal your land because you are reaching for the kingdom. You're not just reaching for your sins to be forgiven. You're not just reaching for the laws. You're not just reaching for the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not just reaching for simple things. Now you're starting to come into kingdom understanding. And why did he put that there? He put a clause there so that those people who are dull of hearing cannot hear. Those people who are blind in their sight cannot see. Why? Because if you see the kingdom and you start to become a part of the kingdom, then he says here, they should be converted into kingdom people and I should heal them. See? He put a clause there so that those who are not of him cannot get in and those who are of him can. See, God is not mocked. Nobody who belongs to this world and just want to play the game with God is going to ever get into the kingdom because they go past the kingdom message. They don't want to know what the kingdom is about. But for those who are of God, it is given unto you. Isn't that what he said? It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Why? So that you can be healed after your conversion. What are you being converted from? You're being converted from someone who is just in this world to somebody who is just in it and not of it. You're being converted to kingdom principles. See, this is why a person who is of the kingdom is not afraid of whatever disease come up on this land, because it's in God's hand. This is why a person who is not afraid of any sickness, because it's in God's hand. When you are a kingdom citizen, then you understand that they can't do nothing to me unless God allows it. See, I serve a greater king. I serve a greater kingdom. I do not serve the government. Isaiah, I wasn't even going to go here. Isaiah 6:9 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. So this child that was born, which is Jesus Christ, is clear, brought with him government. Kingdom government was on his shoulders. If you get into the Christ, then you must get into his kingdom. See, it's been set up from the beginning like that. If you are not in his kingdom, then I don't care what you say, you are not of Christ because you have not lifted him up to be so. See, wherever you put Christ in your life, that's where he is. If you only see him as the carpenter's son, then he will stay the carpenter's son. But if you lift him up as God, then he becomes your king. And if he becomes your king, then you get to operate in his kingdom. We're going to express that further. I got to nail down some things so that we get there, though. I don't want to go through the rest of this. I don't. Let us get to Matthew chapter 11. Back up to Matthew chapter 11. And I want you to see this. Starting at verse 12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force." Listen, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." So, he's saying, as in the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. So, he's giving you a time frame. He's saying, from all the days, from the beginning. See, after the enemy took the keys from Adam, from that time until John the Baptist, was the law of Moses and the prophets prophesied. They were spoken. It says, but now the kingdom. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He introduced Christ to the world. He brought him in to the place where he would give glory unto the Christ, and that he was the forerunner before Christ. He is the one that started the conversation about the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you have to understand what the law did. The law made knowledgeable to those that followed the law that they were sinners. And they took it for something else because they start pointing out everybody else's sin. But all you could get from the law ever, the best you could ever get from the law of Moses, was to know that you are a sinner. And just as soon as you understood, or once you did good, then the law itself, because it is of sin, it was rules, it was regulations, but because it was steeped in that, and all it was created for was to show you that you were in sin, it moved the line. Once you did good and you said, okay, I've got to this place, the law moved the line. It moved the line up so that you cannot achieve. You can never fulfill the law of Moses. You can never get to the place where you are free from the law if you serve the law. And that is why Jesus said, the law is fulfilled in me. He fulfilled the law so that you wouldn't have to. And I don't understand why people keep trying to go back to the law. They go back to the law because it makes them comfortable. It makes them feel righteous, just like the Sanhedrin Council got all caught up in righteousness. They want to be able to point out your sin. They want to be able to point out what's wrong with you. Because by pointing out other men's sins, that makes you feel righteous, see? And our whole society is built upon that. That's what people don't understand. It's amazing that when a man commits thievery and he goes into a store and he steals, especially from the ghetto or as a poor man, and he can't hire a good lawyer, he has to go to jail for 15, 20 years. But they don't send people to jail that steal from the stock market like Enron or do something else. Stealing is stealing. Robbing is robbing. But they have money to manipulate the law so that they can get out of it. And that's what our whole society is built upon. That's why we need to follow a new kingdom. This kingdom is of this world. We don't need to be of this world. We need to be of a fair kingdom, a just kingdom, a righteous kingdom, a holy kingdom. And that kingdom is found only in Jesus Christ. And that's what John the Baptist was bringing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All you got to do is reach out and take his hand. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. You need to take the hand of Jesus and become a part of his kingdom by giving him, offering him the right hand of fellowship and getting into fellowship with him and leaving the rest alone. It does not mean you don't have to follow the laws of this land. See, but everywhere you see Jesus followed the laws of this land, but he was not a part of this world. Let me tell you how important the law was to Jesus. Jesus fulfilled and it was fulfilled in him. But did you ever see him join the synagogue? No. Did you ever see him join the Sanhedrin Council? No. Did you ever see him become a Pharisee? No. Did you ever see him become a Sadducee? No. Did you ever see him become a prophet like everybody else? No. Did you ever see him follow the law like everybody else follows the law. No, he only followed the moral issues of the law. If it was morally right, then he did it. They even asked him about the money. And he said, whose name and face is on these? Hand me a coin. And they said, Caesar. He said, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Because under a different kingdom, you belong to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And people don't recognize that. Now we understand why we keep trying to meandering and fall back into our traps and not growing out of these traps. Because we don't give respect unto God. Jesus said, until I am lifted up, once you have lifted me up, then you will know that I am he. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Where is Jesus? He is in the kingdom of God. And if he's going to draw you, then that means you got to come into the kingdom to get where he's at. See, it is not, the church now is trying to bring kingdom and Christ to where they're at. No. He's the Christ. He died for your sin. He died for the glory of God. He died that you would have life and life more abundantly. He died for that. So how are you going to make him go to where you at? No, no, no. You need to come to where he is. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so we need to get caught up into the kingdom. Let me give you these principles again. The progression of the proclaiming of God's word. God's word started first with the government, which is God's kingdom, then with the law of Moses, then with the prophets, and then with repentance, and then with back to the kingdom, which is God's government. And that is the direction we're going. See, next time we are going to see more about the law and the prophets. And we're going to find out more about what God is saying about the law and the prophets. And you're going to be amazed from the beginning of Jesus's ministry, even the beginning of John's ministry, they weren't telling people to follow the law of the prophets. John didn't want to be like the Sanhedrin Council. He lived in the wilderness, eating bees, wild bees and honey, and doing whatever he did, dressed in camel's hair. He did not want to be like the status quo of the world. He separated himself from the world so that he could bring the message, because he was bringing a different message. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus came after he opened the door. Jesus came to fulfill that which was spoken by John the Baptist. And if you go to 11:11, listen to what Jesus said about him. And let's go to 10. It says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. So he who just makes it into the kingdom is going to be greater than John the Baptist. Out of all the men that were born, Jesus said, and he's talking about time past, present, and future, there's not a man that was born on this earth that's greater than John the Baptist. But when you get into the kingdom, and you get to serve Jesus, you become greater than him. So this kingdom message is worth getting. This kingdom message, what am I doing? I'm not trying to take away people's mindset from the things of God and the way they've learned to do it. But I need us to focus on kingdom. See, everything you could ask for, everything you desire, every bill that needs to be paid, everything that you will want from God has already been done, because it's already set in the kingdom. So if you could get into kingdom living, then you don't have a struggle up on this earth. See? Now, living upon this earth with disrespectful people, that may be a struggle. But it's because of the people upon this earth, because of the laws of this land. And this is why I'm telling people, how can you vote for a man that has standards that is against the things of God? I don't understand it. I don't understand. See, are we voting the man? Are we voting God? We should be voting God. And it's for that reason that I cannot vote the presidency. I have to vote on the local level so that we can start trying to put some policies back in place that were snatched away so that God can receive the glory on this land. And that's what we have to fight for. We have to fight for that. So amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord God, for being the God of all creation, Lord God. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the Spirit move that they may hear. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we thank you. We understand that from the time of John the Baptist, the law and the prophets were preached. But now that Christ is here, the kingdom message is preached. Give me the wherewithal that I might continue to teach the kingdom. I ask that everybody would be blessed above the sound of my voice and that they would hear precisely, Lord God, and that would, they would check scriptures to see that the Lord is speaking to them directly. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree said amen. Amen.
One, make you kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking off some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.